Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have an absolutely fascinating topic as far as I'm concerned that we're going to be discussing today, and that is the topic of a man's life. And each and every one of us contributes significantly to what can be described as the circle of life. And there are some people that have more dedication in certain areas of teaching and showing people how to live life with a more full expression and balance with everything that's around them. And one of those individuals, his name was Rolling Thunder. I have in front of me a book that is titled The Voice of Rolling Thunder, and this is about a medicine man that our guest today, Stanley Krippner, had the opportunity to actually know and study with in a way that allowed him to see the world differently. I want to welcome you, Stanley, to the show. Stanley Krippner is my guest. Stanley, thank you for joining me today. I know you have an incredibly busy schedule. I'm so delighted we were able to connect.
It's a pleasure, Donna, and you've certainly described the book and Rolling Thunder very well.
I'm always intrigued with how an individual such as Rolling Thunder was able to put the foot on the past and a foot in the modern world and create a bridge of understanding. This is not easy to do. It seems like people either want to go back to what I describe as the good old days, thinking that there's something mystical and magical about them without paying any attention to the realities of what people had to live. And then there's the others that say our way is the only way that's in the modern world. And there doesn't seem to be a whole bunch of flexibility. But this man really did try to bridge this. How did you come to meet him, Stanley?
Well, I actually met Rolling Thunder through a mutual friend, Mickey Hart, who was a drummer for the rock band The Grateful Dead. And Mickey kept telling me, oh, you have to meet Rolling Thunder, this wild medicine man from Nevada. You've got to meet Rolling Thunder when you're in California. So one day, Mickey actually hired a private plane and flew Rolling Thunder up to his ranch so that we could meet. And that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship that lasted until his death. But we had many great visits and adventures, both in the United States and in Europe during that period of time. And what you say about Rolling Thunder bridging the two worlds is very accurate, because he bridged the world of Native American culture. He was very, very traditional in terms of his background as a Shoshone and as a Cherokee Indian. And then he bridged that with contemporary events. He was a social and political activist. He worked very hard for the rights of Native Americans. And he was such a controversial person that some unknown assailant tried to assassinate him, and I saw the bullet in the wall of his house. Thank heavens he had just bent over to tie his shoe when the bullet came through, and thank heavens missed him. But also Rolling Thunder bridged the ordinary world and the non-ordinary world. He believed that he was able to go out of his body, talk with spirits, talk with animals, talk with birds, get wisdom from other planes of reality, and then bring that back to the ordinary world where he would doctor people, as he put it, and use Native American herbs and rituals to restore them to health.
I find his story very meaningful because when I started, I think it was back in 1980, when I started into teaching, and I had been invited to do that at a local church here in the Seattle-Tacoma area, there was a gentleman that came into my class who was of a tribe in Canada. And at the time, he was in his late 30s, I believe, and his particular tribal group had chosen him to be a shaman, and he had fought it. He absolutely didn't want anything to do with it, and yet things kept bringing him back into the environment, and he educated me on something that I had no wisdom about whatsoever. I had, for some reason, like so many people, thought that becoming a shaman, a medicine man, you were just born with the abilities and just bingo, that was it. And you maybe studied under someone, but you had to have certain talents and gifts. But this gentleman educated me in the reality that among his tribe, anyway, he said, I had to learn so much. He finally understood by the time he was in his late 20s that this is really where his life belonged. This is what he wanted to do. And he was in constant training. He had to learn disciplines. He had to develop self-sufficiency. I mean, the demands on him were just incredible. But he understood, finally, he wasn't mature enough until his later 20s to understand the responsibility that was his to accept was really going to be very liberating. It was going to be even greater in depth and dimension than he ever imagined. But he said, this is an intense training process because I will carry so much responsibility from among my people. And I thought, holy Moses, boy, this really belies a lot of my misunderstandings. And that's what your book, The Voice of Rolling Thunder, does, I feel. It brings the scope of reality of what people do, yet you have incorporated just what you mentioned, the understanding of what many define as the mystical. But in the world of the shaman, it's not mystical at all. They live it every moment.
Well, you're absolutely right, and your experience is really an eye-opener for many people. First of all, shamans do have to have a community that calls upon them. There are many people running around giving lectures and workshops today who call themselves shamans, but when you say, where is your community? They don't have one. They were never designated as a shaman or a medicine man or a medicine woman by a tribe or a group of people. And your story shows one of the paths to become a shaman. The community designates one. Now, there are some people who are born to it, who actually come from a line, a lineage of other medicine people. That's one way. Another way is to get very, very sick and to undergo a dramatic healing. In exchange for the healing, one thanks the spirits and takes up becoming a medicine person. Well, Rolling Thunder had the call early on in life through visions and from dreams, and he went out and he studied with several well-known medicine people, medicine men and medicine women, they're all listed in the book, from several different traditions, not only the Cherokee and the which he was born to, and then later he was adopted by the Shoshone tribe when he married a Shoshone woman, but also other medicine cultures as well, because you have to remember that when the Europeans invaded North America, there were at least 1,000 different tribes in North America. Now in the United States, there's about 500 tribes. You know, many Native Americans died off due to all of the diseases that the Europeans brought over. But each of those tribes has its own traditions and actually its own way of helping and healing people. And Rolling Thunder pulled a number of those together in his practice.
I'm finding a patterning in my interaction with various individuals, and just what you have mentioned is extremely interesting. Because of intermarriage, because of so many of the tribes disappearing, and those that have sustained, let's say, there is such a yearning, I feel, on the part of those that are today in this world, because there's such a mixture within them. that there is often a war that goes on inside of them. And Rolling Thunder really tried to address this, as far as I can perceive from what you wrote. He really tried to enable people to understand that they could take their wisdoms, they could live in this world, they don't need to be at war with themselves. He himself was sort of like a Heinz 57, maybe not that extreme, but he was a composite. So he reached out to various modalities saying, what can I bring in to my world from each of these segments so that I can bring to the world the best of myself, the best of what I've learned? This is something that I think is really needed. I see so much pain among those that have diversified cultural backgrounds. I don't care where they're from. And to me, it's sad, because I think they can take the best of many aspects, just like Rolling Thunder did, and incorporate them. What are your thoughts about that?
You are absolutely right. I think that's a very perceptive statement. One time I was visiting Rolling Thunder, he took me into this old trailer somebody had given him, and that was his pharmacopoeia. That's where he kept all of his healing herbs. And there were literally hundreds of little packages and sacks and boxes that contained herbs, but also there were Chinese herbs that Chinese medical practitioners had given him and told him how to use. And also there were pharmaceutical samples that physicians had given him and told him how to use them. And Rolling Thunder said, I will use anything that I can, anything that I am given, to help make sick people well. Doesn't matter where it comes from, just so I know how to administer it and how to use it, and find the right person to give it to. Yes, so he was very eclectic, and he was able to pull from a number of different traditions, and he studied very, very hard. And, you know, I wrote this book with Sidian Morningstar, who was Rolling Thunder's grandson, and Sidian Morningstar remembers the stories that his grandfather would tell, and they were not only stories about his own tribes, but about other Native American tribes as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so important in our world today to recognize the diversity that exists and to honor it, because it is, in my view, part of a bigger plan, if you will, to get past so much of the fear, the anger, the hurt, so many things that go in, and to make space so that we can honor and respect what has gone on in the past that has been of value, honor and respect the good, the bad, and the indifferent, and then look at where we are today and see how we can make the changes necessary to make our world a better place. And that's what he did. Now, I loved his attitude that everything was a blessing. If you had a snowstorm, that was a blessing. If something happened to you, well, we just don't know how it's going to be, but this is a blessing. I think that is sort of like an optimist creed, really. He didn't damn life. He lived life.
I think that's a very good attitude for your listeners to come away from this program with, to look at life as a blessing, and even the misfortunes of life often have something to teach us. And if they're tragic episodes in our life, again, we need to learn how to cope with tragedy, because there's a lot of it in the world. Rolling Thunder, you know, had a great deal of tragedy in his life. His first wife and some of their children were caught in a house fire and literally burned to death. And he pulled out of that, overcame it, went on to marry another woman who I knew very well. And then when she died of cancer, he went on and married a third wife who was with him when he died.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept going on.
Yes. Yes. Now, one of the things that you give, one of the many components, because there is so much good information in your book, The Voice of Rolling Thunder, there is something I remember reading about in a Ripley's Believe It or Not article. This goes back many, many, many years. And your book is the first time I've seen it actually in print. And I'm not saying it couldn't have been written about by someone else. But you talk about a UP medicine man that would ask tribal members to bind him and cover him with a blanket. And he talks about emerging from the blanket. If he comes out, then it's a sign that healing is going on. But there are these shamans that would actually go into teepees. They would be bound, and this was in Ripley's, and the whole teepee would shake. There was a tremendous energy that was generated, and they knew that this person was not doing it of themselves. They understood certain laws, and these they had to be very trained and disciplined with. And you bring that out in your book, some of the shamanic practices and demonstrations that people would do.
Absolutely. This is one of the things I think that your listeners will enjoy about the book. It's not only about Rolling Thunder, but it's a panorama of Native American healing practices. And also we have some stories about Native American politics, the American Indian Movement, AIM, that was very politically active back in the 60s and 70s, and Rolling Thunder was, of course, familiar with all of the people in that movement. And also we tell stories about politics. One of the surprises that people will get from the book is how Richard Nixon probably did more for the American Indian than anybody else, because he had an American Indian football coach, and he admired Native Americans. And he is the one who stopped putting Indians into big cities and Americanizing them and letting them stay on reservations to preserve their culture. So whatever Richard Nixon's vices were, he at least had one good thing going for him. He did a great deal for American Indians. Rolling Thunder, when I first met him, was very, very upset about the way that babies were taken from Native American families and put into white families by social agencies so that they would grow up to be good Americans. Well, this, of course, was kidnapping in one sense of the word, and Rolling Thunder was very upset about it. Well, it was Richard Nixon who stopped that and allowed the Native American babies to stay with Native American families. So, like I say, there'll be a number of surprises in the book that might catch the reader off guard, as well as some incredible stories about rock musicians and the Grateful Dead and Native American politics and some of the interesting cultural practices that they might not be aware of.
It is my understanding among the Indians that by the time the Europeans started coming over here, they had cultivated more than 5,000 different types of plants for agricultural purposes. So the Indians, the Native Americans, had been here for a heck of a lot more than anybody has ever come up with. And our ignorance has just been appalling, but I'm so grateful that more and more information is coming out. And one of the things that you bring out in your book that I find fascinating is that among the Ojibwa and the Mi'kmaq tribes, and I hope I'm pronouncing the latter one
correctly, you're doing fine.
That the writing that they had, now there are so many that said, no, these were really primitive, ignorant people, and they didn't have any writing. Well, that's been proven totally false, and yet there are people that still walk around thinking that, well, yes, they may have had a spoken language, but they used sign language. They didn't use written language, but that wasn't true. And the Cherokees were extremely, extremely literate people in their way, and they had their own alphabet. And a man by the name of Sequoia translated it so that it could, their written language, so that the English that the Europeans brought over, it could be read in English, or it could be utilized and understood in English. And I find that this is marvelous, because your book covers so many different aspects of a grouping of people. Now, you said 1,000 tribes were in existence, and They weren't all living this holier-than-thou life. They were living life, just like we're living life today. Some of them fought with each other. There was slavery among Indian tribes. There was all kinds of stuff that went on. But the Iroquois, they are profoundly instrumental in so much of America's history. You have so many other people, and this is what is folded in with the information about Rolling Thunder. Tell a story about how he made rainfall and why rainfall during certain ceremonies was so important, and how it was generated before and after the ceremony, and how you actually experienced this.
Well, you've done a good job. You've read the book. All of these details that you mentioned are certainly there for people to enjoy. But Rolling Thunder didn't so much say that he caused the rain. He just became one with nature, and so he sensed when the appropriate time would be for the rain to start, and the rain started, and then when people got out of the car, the rain stopped, and then they did their dance, and after the dance, they got back into the car, and the rain started again, and Rolling Thunder said, we have to have the rain to wash away all of our footprints, or people think there are a number of wild Indians and hippie kids out dancing and having an orgy on the land. So the rain will take care of that. And, of course, the name Rolling Thunder symbolizes his oneness with nature and his interaction with the weather.
You go into a great deal of detail regarding healing, but before we get into that, I absolutely loved what I read regarding the position of women in a tribe. And among almost all of the Indian tribes, women had an equal position to the men. In fact, they were often the decision makers. And ladies, I want you to know, unlike the European background that we have, according to what Stanley Krippner has put in this book, Rolling Thunder told him that a man had to be very wise because in a tribe, he had to be very careful because all a woman ever had to do was put the man's saddle out on the front porch and he'd have to leave the house and that was it. The woman didn't have to explain to him about anything. She didn't want him in her life. That's it. Boom. That was their style of divorce. Unreal. I laughed when I read that because it reminded me of the Jewish tradition that goes back so many centuries where a man could slap his sandal on the ground so many times and just disengage from the woman and not have to explain anything. And I thought, this was in reverse here in this country. And
yes,
I thought that was awesome.
And the role of women in most of the Native American tribes was one of great power and far ahead of the role of women in Europe at the time.
Oh, much better.
Women were an integral part of, integral part of the governing structure of the tribe. Now, again, we can make a generalization, but there's always exceptions. We don't want to romanticize Native Americans because some of the tribes did some pretty outrageous things, and they had their faults, too. And Rolling Thunder himself was fond of saying, I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect person. So we just want to say that everything was coming up roses, but by and large, when it came to the role of women, Native Americans had a pretty good record before the Europeans came.
Mm-hmm. They really did. And it actually was considered a balance because many of the tribes were nomadic. And it wasn't that the men were superior or the women were superior. They understood you needed a balance. There was a harmony, that there was strength and purpose, and women were the cultivators. They were the ones that gave birth to the children. And you needed to honor and respect that. Because if the women were sick, the men didn't necessarily fare very well, and vice versa. So it is a harmony. It is a balance. And I think that when there can be that understanding, and that one is not superior over the other, but there needs to be the balance, you work with the strengths as well as the weaknesses, there can be a harmonic. And I think that in many aspects of life today, there is such an agony in so many cultures because there's such brutality when you do not respect life, when you do not honor the principles of life in its reality. There's so much pain. There's just so much suffering. And we have that today. We have so much of it going on in so many different cultures in the world. And it's something that has to be rectified. And somehow or another, it's going to be. And I think Rolling Thunder, in his generation and in his time, went a long way to try to educate even those in the Indian culture, as well as those outside of the Indian culture, about the harmonics, how important they were.
Well, as you say, Rolling Thunder was emphasizing balance, balance between men and women, balance between children and adults, balance between human beings and the rest of nature. And it was this quest for balance and harmony that was so typical of the philosophies of most of the Native American tribes.
Now, one of the
I actually had an experience that demonstrated this. Rolling Thunder took me out to the outskirts of his land and started to hoot and holler, and pretty soon a pack of coyotes came. And he had a conversation with a coyote, especially the leader of the pack, just a few feet away from me. And then the coyotes went back into the woods, and I said, "Rolling Thunder, what's that all about?" He said, "Well, we've got this pact with the coyotes. We won't shoot them and kill them, and they won't come and eat up our chickens." And it worked. The coyotes never raided the chicken coop when Rolling Thunder had this pact with them. That was the balance.
I find it just absolutely engaging, the different information you bring out. And one of the points that you bring out is about the healing aspect and how the medicine men and women of all cultural perspectives, but of the Indian culture in this particular space, understood the principle that sometimes to change whatever they were giving to someone, let's say in treatment if people were sick, was a single drop from a freshly harvested stem of an herb. And I think of homeopathy, where the theory is less is more, and how working with the body to create healing is so absolutely, it's complicated, yet it can be very, very simple. And you go into these healing aspects and the different traditions that were employed. And he himself, as a shaman, he was able to turn people around. You have some profound stories in here about what he did and enrolling sometimes the essence of the trickster. And he understood psychology. These stories are incredible. What was the most powerful healing story that you felt that affected you the most about Rolling Thunder?
Well, of course, some of the powerful healing stories I was not present for. But one of the most remarkable stories was the photographer whose picture of Rolling Thunder is on the cover of the book. And the photographer, whose name is Kerry Garnier, was ill. The doctors had given him 6 months to live from an infectious disease. In a desperation, he and a friend went out to see Rolling Thunder. And Rolling Thunder said, "Well, I will take 3 days to decide if I'm going to help you. That's the usual time. You can stay on the land for 3 days," which they did. And at the end of 3 days, Rolling Thunder said, "Well, the Great Spirit has told me that I really need to help you out because you've got some important work to do in the world as a photographer." And Kerry was delighted, and he knew that Rolling Thunder didn't like his picture taken, so he refrained. And he went through the purification, the sweat lodge, the herbal treatments, the rituals, and he got well. And he's still well 20 years later. Mm-hmm. But back at that time, Kerry's friend found a little eagle, fallen out of the nest, put it in a paper sack, and brought it to Rolling Thunder, squawking and crying and screaming. Rolling Thunder just touched the eagle lightly, and it stopped squawking. And then he took it out of the sack and held it. He said, "Kerry, now you can take your picture." So Kerry took the picture of Rolling Thunder and the eagle, The eagle flew away, and Harry had that picture, which is now on the cover of our book. And like I say, he's still well after all these years.
The stories in here, Stanley, are just absolutely marvelous. And the photo of Rolling Thunder holding the baby eagle is just amazing. It's an incredible photograph. And I think that anyone that has an interest in history, anyone that wants to become aware of their own inner capabilities, the story, the voice of Rolling Thunder, can go a long way to helping them open up and setting aside paradigms of ignorance, fear, and superstition. And I think it's marvelous. Stanley, you have a website, stanleykrippner.weebly.com, and that's Weebly. Stanley is StanleyKrippner is the correct spelling of his last name, .weebly.com. This book, Stanley, is wonderful. I think you've done an incredible job, along with City and Morningstar Jones, which is the grandson of Rolling Thunder. And I'm definitely going to be sharing it with a gentleman that I'm having a meeting with next week who personally met Rolling Thunder and is Indian himself. And he's just, it's fascinating, the stories we were able to exchange. Stanley, you've done a wonderful job with this book. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, thank you, Don, and thank you for such profound and interesting questions. Your listeners are very lucky to have you as a host.
Oh, thank you so much, Stanley. I wish you nothing but the best. This is Donna Sebo. Check out the website, stanleykrippner.weebly.com. I think you'll find the information quite fascinating. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. I am just so delighted to have had Stanley on the show with me today. I think that when we can become aware of the multicultural aspects of life, it empowers us. It really, really does. And we need to be able, like he said, not to romanticize things. I think too many times people want to say, oh, it was so great back in the days of the Renaissance. I've heard people say this. I'd want to live back in the days of the Renaissance. Well, I say, fine, I like the costumes, maybe. I'm going to be very selective about what I associate with, but what people don't remember is the famine, the filth, the disease. People, the women, what they went through was horrible. Most of their babies died. 50% or more of babies died, boy babies especially. If they lived to be 5 years old, you would just jump up and down with joy because you didn't know that they were going to make it past their fifth birthday. Disease was rampant. So the good old days, watch the movies, enjoy the good stuff, and realize there was a lot of pain and suffering. There was a lot of starvation. People talk about Chinese history. Well, they need to understand Chinese history. It wasn't all gee emperors and everything was glorious and magnificent. Talent was abundant, that's true. But millions would die. Millions would die because of starvation, droughts, insect infestation, all kinds of things. We need to look at life with an openness and a clarity. There is not a generation ever that I have become aware of that had this wonderful, magnificent, perfect utopian world. It doesn't exist. This planet is like a school. This planet is billions of years old and is going to live for billions of years more, regardless of what's going on right now, because if we get too big for our britches, I am just aware that Mother Nature has a way of burping, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of stuff disappears. Things change. So we need to understand that as individuals, we can make a difference in life by focusing on our strengths, not our weaknesses, and allow those weaknesses to come along with our strengths, but look at being the best we possibly can be and always being open to learn. And one of the ways to do it is to pick up something that you've never, ever read about before and actually sit down and read. And I have so many individuals that will say to me, they just don't understand why I have such a passion for reading. And they say, you can talk about so many different things. Well, I was born this way. Don't ask me why. It just came in with the package that I'm in. It is a part of me. And as each day passes, I realize how valuable that is, even more so than I did 12 years ago when I started this show. Little did I realize how much richer my perceptions and understandings of life would be. And that's what I like to think that this show can bring you. Diversity is important. You have a right to discern, to discriminate. You have the right to discriminate about what's going to go into your head. Because what you put into your mind is what is going to determine your attitude and your actions. I have seen it so many, 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 many times. I see people that are not willing to learn, and they get stuck in a quagmire of their own ignorance. It's so easy to do. One of the biggest things is fear. I know of someone that is so frightened of learning something new, because it means that they then have to have a responsibility about acknowledging that they're not paying attention to what needs to be done. So we need to understand what empowers you as a person is not becoming a gazillionaire. What empowers you as a person is an understanding of who you are. And to understand who you are, you have to be open to learning about other people, because we're all connected. You may read about someone that has certain patterns. You go, I have those patterns. I don't like it in that person. Maybe I better change some things about myself. Self-awareness is part of the journey of life. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because we have everything within us. It's very important. And I know we've got a caller on the line. Oops, I forgot to give out the phone number. 888-627-6008. Oh, and I need to say something else before I take the caller. It was called to my attention, I put the wrong dates for the upcoming appearances that I have in February and in March. That is going to be corrected by an email that is going to be going out to everyone that received my newsletter, and it will also be corrected on my website. So my apologies. My dates somehow got scrambled. Well, let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. My initial is JL, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, JL. Welcome. How did you fare with all of that flooding, if you don't mind my asking, with all of this stuff that went on in New York? You people have just been amazing to me at your resiliency and the dedication on the part of the literally thousands of individuals to bringing normal conditions back. How did you fare through all of that?
Fortunately, my part of the Brooklyn was fine. We didn't have any flood, but we did have to wait online for 5 hours for gas.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad that your area in Brooklyn didn't have to go through the trauma that so many other areas of New York did. That's good news. And standing in line for gas, I'm just grateful you were able to get it.
Mm-hmm. But we had to wait for 5 hours each time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you were able to eventually get it. That is incredible. That is really incredible. And again, I'm very happy that you're able to be back into a somewhat normal state at this time. Let's get down to business with you, JL. There is some massive change occurring by fall of this year, 2013. And as I'm observing you in my mind, one, I'm seeing you packing a suitcase. You are going to be relocating, but before you relocate into a particular working environment, you are going to be doing some traveling. And it's through this traveling that I'm seeing 1, 2, 3 doors opening for you. And you're actually going to be able to go through these 3 doors of opportunity. And then I'm seeing the 3 doors merging into 1 very large door. So though you may not have clarity right at this moment, I think by August the 15th of this year, the actions of the 3 doors of opportunity merging into the 1 is going to be very, very efficient, clear, and you're going to have it right in front of you. So all of your hard work that you have been putting forth is going to be rewarded. So you need to maintain consistency and follow through. Just don't sit back expecting that everything's just going to be there for you. You need to continue moving forward with your education, your interaction with people, letting people know what you want to do, how you want to do it, etc. You need to keep the conversation fluid. It needs to continue to go out there. And in that way, all of these circumstances are going to come into a harmonic. Your life is dramatically changing by fall of this year, and you're going to have some pretty big responsibilities that are going to be on your professional shoulders starting around March of 2014 and also 2015. The springtime of the year, for whatever reason, seems to hold a strong impetus for you. So this is all coming together, and it is all happening. And again, don't give up. Don't play games. Just keep integrity with yourself and your purpose, because circumstances are beginning to harmonize. What question would you have for me today?
I feel like you pretty much answered my question. My question that I wanted to ask is, am I going to be okay in my educational life? Am I going to graduate from my master program?
Oh, absolutely. What's your master's in? What's the orientation for your master's?
Speech communication.
I think that you are going to do very, very well with this. And I believe that there is going to be an aspect to the speech communication that you are going to become very cognizant of. And this is going to sound very strange, but it will have something to do with how the mouth and the tongue and the muscles of the face work together, and how sometimes people have dental problems, and that when those problems are corrected, there is a change in speech, and therapy can be much more effective. I think your world is going to be expanding in a fascinating way. So, yes, I think that your master's degree, you're going to do well. It's still hard work. It's still hard work. There's no shortcuts here. But, yes, you'll have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much, Donna.
You are more than welcome. And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break for just a moment. a little bit of whimsical stuff. Do you want to become a good luck magnet? Who doesn't? Okay, I've got some tips for that. And, well, let's see, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. When we come back, I'll share it all with you. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. Fun things to share. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Quickly, and I forgot to give out the phone number, 888-627-6008. I want to let you know about my guest coming up next week. We have so many fascinating people in this world. We're going to be talking about bullying and labeling of people. David Patton has put out a book called Dummy. This man overcame many obstacles. Then we're going to be talking about the rational psychic. Jack Rourke is going to be my guest. This is a man that really didn't plan on getting into the psychic area by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, he was a full-blown skeptic. His life changed. Message from Mother, Mara Cromwell, is going to be with me. And this is all about Mother Earth. And then the healing power of sacred woman, Christine Page. We're going to be discussing how the role of women is being acknowledged and changed in very, very interesting ways. And then, a week from today, Dogs of War. Now, this is about three canines who were pets of some very, very famous people. And I have to tell you, two of them were Scottish Terriers, so you know that I'm really going to be interested in those. Anyway, dynamic lineup. I hope that you will join me. And tell your friends about the show, too. We've got so many wonderful people, and if you want to check this out, if you want to find out who's coming on, all you need to do is go into the show information button on the BBS radio website. Tap that. You'll get a listing, a couple of sentences about each guest that's coming up, and I welcome you to join me because you never know what you're going to learn and how it might change your world in a very special way. Because we were talking about Rolling Thunder, who is in a phenomenal, phenomenal man that left a wonderful legacy, so many individuals are familiar with Iron Eyes Cody. Now, when Hollywood was making its movies, it used all kinds of individuals, and usually it was the white guy painted brown playing the Indian. And when you look at these old, old movies, which are really fun and sometimes to see, and you realize how much of what they put up on the screen was false, well, Iron Eyes Cody was in a lot of these movies. He played all kinds of roles as an Indian. In fact, he was very much loved as a Native American Indian throughout the 20th century. Now, he was called the Crying Indian in the famous Keep American Beautiful ad. He has this big tear that comes out of his eye. However, most people are not aware that Iron Eyes Cody wasn't a Native American. That's right. He was not Indian. He was Sicilian. Leave it to those Italians. And he said that he actually was part Cree and Cherokee. Now, he did end up marrying a Native American woman, and this all played into what he wanted to do. But his real name is Espera Oscar de Corti. Yes, that does sound different than Iron Eyes Cody, doesn't it? Just a little bit of trivia there that I wanted to share with you. Okay, let's look at being a good luck magnet. Well, a lot of it is attitude, isn't it? It's just, I expect good things. I expect to attract the best to me. Those kinds of thoughts really do create the magnet-like in aura, if you will, around you. Now, as Susan Hyatt, she had some suggestions about how you can create your own luck. Stop looking at other people and saying, I wish I were like them. Create your own. She said the attitude that if you don't believe you're going to be lucky, you're just not going to have luck anyway. It's just not going to happen to you. You're going to walk around with a Scrooge-like attitude. Everything is bad. Oh, this is the way the world is. Blah, 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 blah. And what's going to happen? It's going to reflect in your life exactly what your perceptions are. So, you know what? What you need to do is to have a positive mindset, and you want to break any kind of really negative thoughts that you might have. And you might have been taught to think that way. I can remember my dad telling me, this is a dog-eat-dog world. And he really had, in many instances, a very pessimistic attitude. And, of course, that contributed to problems that he had in his life. But for some reason, that didn't pass over to me. But I have found myself sometimes echoing or parroting statements that people make. So I have to take charge of my mind and what comes out of my mouth and flip it, switch it. And that is important for you to be aware of consciously. How you think, how you live, how you react, that is up to you to control. So another suggestion that she says is have a happy basket. I've never heard of that before, but having a happy basket. And what you do, you put things in that basket that really make you smile. She said, grab your basket. If you're feeling like you're in the doldrums, have your happy basket. Maybe put a piece of chocolate in there. Whatever. That's your happy basket. Go off, be by yourself, and enjoy the beautiful things, the wonderful things that you have with you. And she said she's discovered that lucky people always have a plan. She said they map out what they want. They do vision boards. And they see themselves accomplishing things. She said, if you want to do it, start now. Start today. This is the best day of your life. This is the day you're living. How you live your life, how you make your life work, affects your future. So, you are going to create a mental canvas. What do you want on that canvas? And think about it. Think about it. It's so important. And be aware you want what is the highest and the best for you, because that is really what your life should reflect. Now, it's all up to you. Maybe you want a special person. Maybe you want more money in your life, whatever it is. But just know that it's out there. But get that vision board started for the year 2013. And you know what? The more you can see in your mind that you are going to be able to have something, it happens. I've got some stories I want to share with you, but I'm not going to have enough time today to do that. So be aware. If you want to be a lucky magnet, put it into writing, put it into a visual expression, because that is what is going to be the magnet to attract to you what you want. Now, if at the same time you say, nah, that's a bunch of hooey, and I've met people that do that, okay, you've negated whatever it is that you're looking at. You are going to be able to achieve what you want. It may take some time, but allow the universe to work towards you, because it really is a friend, not an enemy. Life is for living, not just existing in. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. I look forward to talking with you on Monday. I just know the sun's going to shine on your life and on your experiences. Smile. It's a good day. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.